Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here at Living Waters and happy to be sharing. It's summer. It's a wonderful time of year. We so appreciate the activities and the opportunities during summer to be together, to help form and shape community. And we're glad you're here today joining us during Church Connect. We're beginning a two-week series that I'm sharing today. Rebecca Monzo, our youth pastor, will be sharing next week. And it's a very short series, taking a look at rivers of living water and discovering perhaps maybe a timely word for us as we are here together today. Julie and I spent a few days last week in Washington. Washington State, specifically Leavenworth, never been, and then down to Wenatchee, never been. What a nice time away. Wenatchee, a beautiful little town, claims to be the apple capital of the world. It's a big claim. And there's certainly evidence of apple orchards everywhere, but we've seen those before. What I was most interested in was the topography. This is not a picture I took, but it is what I saw as we biked their famous 10-mile loop along the Columbia River, where there was a river with water movement. As you can see in this picture, there's desert and there is green orchard. While there is obvious some soil treatment for the lush green orchard, the growth of an orchard, an apple, is because of a water supply. As we biked this 10-plus mile loop around the Columbia River alongside desert and orchard, and actually maybe sympathy at this point, 38, 39 degrees, we were hot, sidebar. But what we did notice was the very systematic watering system that was watering the lawns of residents, but of course, watering the lawn or the soil for these beautiful apple orchard. It was obvious that without the water, there would be no lush green, there would be no orchard, there'd be no harvest. How and why is there such, as we see it in those pictures, why is there such an obvious contrast? The difference is water. In our text today, found in John chapter 4, we read of an invitation that Jesus gave to a Samaritan woman when meeting her at a community well, a watering station. Jesus offers living water to a woman who was physically and spiritually a very, very thirsty person. The story reads like this, John 4, verses 10 to 15. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Verse 15, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." The term living water the term rivers of living water are used in verse 10, and it appears several times in the Bible and serves as a beautiful symbol of the grace and gifts that Jesus wants people to have, wants you and I to have. This metaphor and idea embodies a very profound aspect of Christian faith, where Jesus says in this text, I offer you living water. I've always found the process of discovering and deciding upon a name for something or some person, it really creates a huge opportunity. For example, the naming of a child, a building, a boat, a charity, a sports team. And of course, something that I think is very important is the naming of a Christian community, the naming of a church. During my years serving on our district team, I can recall sitting many times with church planters and their teams discussing the names that they were considering for their new church, this new church plant. I sat with leaders as stories about churches such as these unfolded. Names like God's Garden, Cross Current, More Than 12, The Crossing, Citizens Church, The House, Genesis Church. These chosen names would often tell the story of what that team was hoping for, hoping to become, hoping to do, and who they were thinking about. So what about the name of our church, Living Waters Church? Surely this must have significance for us. Perhaps not everyone would know that this name, Living Waters Church, hasn't always been the name of our church. Over the course of our some 84 plus years or so of history, our church has actually had a few names. How interesting. During those earliest years, our church was named Langley Prairie Assembly. It references a different time, of course. Emmanuel Pentecostal Tabernacle for a while. Fort Langley Pentecostal Church for a while. History would tell us that in 1988, some 35 plus years ago, the congregation and leadership of the time began a bit more of a formal process to discover the best name for this church going forward. Perhaps considering as a team back then, 35 plus years ago, who was this community hoping for? What were they hoping to become? What were they hoping to do? And who were they thinking about? History tells us that names back then, 35 years ago or so, names were considered like Country Grove Church, Christian Fellowship Church or Center, Good News Fellowship, Harmony Fellowship, Wellspring Assembly, and Prairie Assembly. They were all considered. While we don't know all the details of 35 years ago, we do know that they agreed upon the name Living Waters Assembly, and then to our current name a few years after, Living Waters Church. Living Waters Church. Living Waters Church. Have you ever considered why the name Living Waters Church? What is the significance of this name, our name? Is this name meant to shape and influence a philosophy of ministry and an experience of community? Furthermore, what is the prophetic significance to this chosen name, Living Waters Church? In our text in John 4, Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Jesus sat down around noon at Jacob's well, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And in our text, the conversation is recorded, which includes an explanation and an invitation for this woman to receive God's life, to receive rivers of living water. From our text, we learn three things about this. Number one, verse 10, it's worded by Jesus, if you knew the gift from God, if you knew the gift from God, living water is a gift from God that we need to know about. we need to talk about. For just as in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 teaches that salvation is a gift from God, Acts 2:38 says, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus offers gifts that we need to know about, the gift of salvation and the gift of living water. To all people, Jesus offers living water. How appropriate that our name, Living Waters, would declare this, that Jesus offers living water. We learn in the Bible of this gift of relationship, this gift of spiritual blessing, this gift of life-giving power, this gift that satisfies human thirst in the most spiritual sense. Ultimately, this living water is a promise given the Holy Spirit. We need to know about this gift that God offers. A few chapters later in John chapter 7, in front of a large crowd, Jesus shouted, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Chapter 4, John, chapter 7 of John, Jesus carrying the concerns of sharing the invitation, this gift from God that he offers. We need to know about it. We're encouraged to drink. We're encouraged to look to Jesus and a relationship with him as the source of that which quenches our thirst, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and our whole being, not just information, but revelation that leads to transformation through experience. The second thing in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. We need to not just know about living water, we need to ask for living water. When Jesus began the conversation with the woman at the well, she did not know or perceive what the gift of living water really was. When Jesus first mentioned living water to her, she thought of living water only in the physical flowing sense of drawing physical water from a Jacob's well. Moments later in the conversation, Jesus helped her to think of living water not just in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. When Jesus described the spiritual meaning of living water, which was perpetual life-giving power that springs up to eternal life, the woman most naturally expressed her desire to have that living water. She had a human longing that she was asking for that need to be met. And so in verse 15, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again. So we see in this simple exchange that we need to know about this living water. And secondly, we need to ask about this living water. And thirdly, in our text, verse 10, and he would have given you living water. Thirdly, we need to receive living water. For as we ask, in the necessity of asking, yes, but the main thing is in the receiving of living water. This is the main heart of Jesus, to give you living water. Not that we just know about it, not that we just ask for it, but that we receive living water. We receive the gift of salvation. We receive the renewal and revival that comes through receiving living water. In this passage from John, Jesus speaks of living water, not again just as physical water, but as a symbol for the Holy Spirit and what is to come after Jesus' death and resurrection for his followers who were believing in him and following him. Jesus says, I offer you living water for this journey and for your ministry. See, there's certain things that we can receive from just the one source. And for living water, there's just the one source. There's no substitute, there's no dupe, there's no knockoff, there's no duplicate. We receive life from God, and we receive that which sustains this life supernaturally and spiritually. This is the living water that Jesus offers us. The renewal and revival and replenishment that moves us along through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, offering us thirsty and longing people living water. I believe a name was appropriately placed on this community, on this church, in the years in 1988 and following. For I think this is more than just a name, Living Water. It's so much more than that. For Living Water is a declarative statement about who God is. God is the one amongst us who is living water amongst us. Living water is a declarative statement about who we are. We are a people who are dependent and needing the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of this living water that refreshes and nourishes and replenishes us, keeping us far from dehydration, enlivened by His replenishing and refreshing work. And thirdly, living water is a prophetic statement that speaks about who God, who longs to refresh and renew and restore and fill a people who with this abundant living water. On two occasions, we read about a need for course correction. An important time in Israel's history, God raised up or used a man named Jeremiah, a major prophet, because he had a major ministry. And he used him as a messenger to create an awareness and potentially a course of correction and a way to get things right again in relationship with their God. Some of the words that describe the need for course correction are found in Jeremiah chapter 17 and Jeremiah chapter 2. In chapter 17, Jeremiah says, "Lord, You are the hope of Israel. All who forsake You will be put to shame. Those who turn away from You will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water," the spring of life, the spring of living water. How they forgotten God or forsaken God, Jeremiah 2, "For My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of living water, and hoed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." In these verses, we read about a God, the fountain or spring of living water, providing Israel every blessing they needed, yet the Israelites deserted God, forsook God, practiced adultery, and sought after gods that would not profit or benefit them. Today, we would know of the same God, the fountain of living water, providing us with every blessing we need. We would be so wise not to forsake this living water. We would be so wise not to try to find, which will be so unsuccessful, replacements, new cisterns that we would build our lives upon that would somehow try to replace this fountain of life that Jesus offers us. You think about it, there's all kinds of cisterns that we hold dear to us, that we place value on, that we try to use to fill that longing in our hearts, trying to quench this spiritual thirst that is really, really not possible. These cisterns, perhaps, are not busy or bad in themselves, but they sure keep us busy. Our career, our education, the cistern, if you would, of a relationship with someone or many, our accumulation of wealth and stuff, activities and hobbies, our past and prejudices, sports and leisure entertainment, our trolling on social media. Again, none of these necessarily bad or wrong in themselves, but what Jeremiah is saying, any cistern other than a relationship with the living Lord will never become a primary source of life, purpose, and meeting that need of longing and creating priority that will help long term. Our only source of life, abundant life, is to be found in Jesus, who offers us living water. What we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 10 is that there is life. This Samaritan woman had experienced life. She had a history. She had relationships. She was finding her way when she met Jesus, who described himself as living water. She then experienced abundant life. Life versus abundant life. Jesus offers us abundant life and living. And the living water that Jesus gives his children is just that, abundant. It's life-giving, living water that will perpetually flow as a fountain within us, active, dynamic, vigorous, abundant. We must know, as this Samaritan woman began to know, that by God's divine design, we were made to be vessels of this abundant life, a vessel filled with living water. The Greek word that John uses in John chapter 10 for abundant life refers to a springing up or a leaping and a gushing. This living water that Jesus gives us helps us and is meant to help us find a certain quality of eternal life now with him while on earth, as we anticipate being in heaven with him. Living water. We need to know about it, we need to ask for it, and we need to receive it. So may I encourage you with two ideas. Number one, let's start as a community talking about the filling up of living water. Our former leaders and elders saw something some 35 years ago, and it was important then to place a name on this community called Living Waters, and it's just as equally important that we discover that again today. Living water is important right now. Rivers of living water are necessary and needed still today. As a community, we talk a lot about our church values, and we need to continue to do so, for it articulates what we hope to be. But alongside that, let us also talk about the name of our church, which is not really a simple name, but it's a huge invitation. For when we do, we are promoting and prioritizing the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who ultimately enables us to become all that God wants. And secondly, we do know that water needs channels to move. For if water is held in stagnation too long, it becomes stagnant and often carries harmful things. This is not at all what this river of living water that Jesus is inviting us to participate and receive is. It's life-giving. May we all imagine ourselves as conduits of living water, praying and pointing people to the source of this living water, who is Jesus. As a general rule of thumb, a person can survive without water for about 3 days. There's variances to that, but generally about 3 days. It begs the question, what about Christian life and living water? Perhaps we can't make a direct comparison, but we can identify the characteristics of a spiritually depleting person. A pastor once says, if you feel unsatisfied with your life, that is called spiritual thirst, and the only one that can quench that thirst is Jesus. And as we conclude today, I want to remind you of that. Jesus offers you living water. Wow. We can know about it, we can ask for it, and we can receive that living water today. It really doesn't matter how far you've gone or where you are. What matters is what we do today with this invitation that Jesus offers us, living water. Rivers of living water will flow. May they flow within you and around you. So if you're perhaps have lost your first love for Jesus, come and be filled today. If you feel perhaps the soil of your heart is hardened, or you feel like the soil of your heart is full of weeds and stones, come and be filled today. May this not be a desert, barren time for you. If you feel your relationship with God is strained or distant, you might feel so indifferent today to the things of God. Come and be filled. Perhaps if you don't feel the sense of his presence like you have in the past, come and be filled. If you're hungry and feel that there is so much more that God has for you, it's true. Come and be filled and blessed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never repented of your sin and been brought into a relationship with Jesus, come today and be found in a right relationship with the source of living water for you today. My final appeal for all of us is to know the thirst of your soul. Today, know the thirst of your soul and know the readiness of the giver and the sweetness of the living water that Jesus offers. Fall at his feet and ask and receive this living water today. A pastor once said, as we come to him, he'll begin to change us. He'll quench that spiritual thirst, and we'll learn that true satisfaction that only can come from Jesus and which can equip us to face all of life's hardships. So if you're thirsty, come and drink. Stop drinking the things that will make you thirsty again and again and again. Come and drink from that source, that only source, the source of the rivers of living water that Jesus wants to give you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your invitation. We hear it today. We hear it in our hearts today. We sense it in our spirit today. Your gift that you have for us, the gift of salvation for those that are coming to Christ today, the gift of your spirit that you're offering us today. Lord, we don't want to be a people that just simply ask and walk away. We want to be a people that ask and wait upon you so that we would receive rivers of living water. We thank you for the declarative way in which the name of our church tells us who you are. This name of our church, Living Waters, tells us who we are. And the name of our church declares a declarative prophetic word for this neighborhood, that you offer living water to all people. And so Jesus, today, as thirsty, hungry people, we come. Fill us with living water. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today and tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow. May we be enlivened by the work of your good Holy Spirit in our lives. May we be recipients, and we also be conduits as rivers of living water pointing people to you, the author and giver of abundant life. Father, forgive us for cisterns of water that have replaced you over these days. We set them aside. We put them behind us, and we offer our lives to you and only to you today. For we will seek you and find you as we come. We love you, Jesus. As we begin a new day and a new week together, a new season together, We are so, so thankful that we can feel in our spirit, we can know in our soul, and enlivens our bodies because we know there's good days ahead because you are the one that offers us living water. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Thanks for studying God's word with us today. Love to know your feedback. Love to know what your prayer would be as we conclude and we consider in the hours ahead, rivers of living water. If you head to our website, you can find the name of and see the faces of some amazing people, our ministry team. And through that, you can find contact information, phone numbers, and a way to access through email. I would love, I know our team would love, I'd love to hear from you and come alongside you in your personal journey to discover Jesus and discover this Jesus who offers you living water. Love to be a part of that journey with you. And just leave that thought with you today. Hey, so again, thanks for joining us today during Church Connect. God bless you. Have a good rest of your day and week.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.